I'm Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
And I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us on the front porch. We pray that today's broadcast will be a half hour of hope for your life.
And we are so moved in our spirit that you would take time out of your day to be with us. It really is a humbling idea. Our prayer is that you will come to know in a fresh new way the one who is hope, Jesus himself. We just talked to you on this broadcast about relationship with the Lord, right relationship with Jesus Christ, the one that we call the hope. I'd like to share a little bit today on the idea of storms. My mother pointed me towards some really good devotional books, and I pointed her towards a few as well. But one of the books that my mother cut her spiritual teeth on is Streams in the Desert. Recently, we had a family in our local church that was going through a storm, and another family heard about it and sent these words to me from Streams in the Desert. It is the devotional that is recorded on January 16th in the book by Mrs. Charles Cowman, Streams in the Desert. It truly is a devotional classic. And like I said, my mother has used it for years, and I have two brothers who are also in the pastorate, and they both love this book. And I've offered it to as many people as I can. So let me begin by saying today, if you don't have a book to read on a daily basis, along with the Holy Word of God, a devotional book, I strongly recommend Streams in the Desert by Mrs. Charles Cowman. Today, let me read just a little bit of this devotional that a family sent to me, a friend actually, and I think you'll see where we're headed. From the scripture in Mark chapter 4 and verse 37, Mrs. Cowman begins her devotional thoughts. A furious squall came up. That is, an unexpected strong storm came up. Now, it came up on the Sea of Galilee, and we know this comes from the story when Jesus was asleep on the back of the boat, and it seemed that they would drown, and Jesus seemed not to care. At least it was not waking him up. And we all know this beautiful story in the Gospels where Jesus finally woke up, and he got up and he looked at the billows and called out to the waves, "Peace be still." And all of a sudden the storm fell to a complete calm. Now, this writing today speaks about the squalls that come up in our lives, the storms that come unexpectedly. Here's what Mrs. Cowman said about this scripture, Mark 4, verse 37. Some of life's storms, a great sorrow, a bitter disappointment, a crushing defeat, can suddenly come upon us. Others may come more slowly, appearing on the uneven edge of the horizon no larger than a person's hand. But trouble that seems so insignificant spreads until it covers the sky and can nearly overwhelm us. Yet in the storm, God equips us for service. When God wants an oak tree, he plants it where the storms will shake it and the rains will beat down upon it. It is in the midnight battle with the elements that the oak tree develops its rugged fiber and becomes what we might call the king of the forest. When God wants to make a person, he puts him into some storm. The history of humankind has always been rough and rugged. No one is complete until he has been out into the surge of the storm and has found the glorious fulfillment of the prayer, "O God, take me, break me, make me." I'd like to stop there for just a few moments. And Grayson, if you'd like to make comment on anything that I've read so far, anything that comes to your mind when you think about the storms of life or the storm that came upon the Sea of Galilee and the gospel records where Jesus was awakened by frightened disciples to calm the waves, just reach in to those thoughts and share whatever you'd like.
Well, Dad, that's certainly a unique perspective. Certainly we wouldn't think that something created out in the open where it could face storms and hardships would be beneficial. But certainly God knows that different storms that we face in our life can help us, can strengthen us, and can ultimately, he can bring good out of those hard situations in our life. just as in the storm in the Bible in the Sea of Galilee when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, that caused them hopefully to have more faith in him and more trust in him once he calmed the storm.
Exactly. Unless we're in the storm, we might not call upon God and we may not gain courage. And so certainly the storm, God knows and we should know, the storm itself is profitable. But we can be so afraid in the storm that our faith gives way and it could actually be our demise. But God never brings us into a storm to destroy us. He only brings us into a storm to strengthen us or to strengthen our vision of who he is and how much he loves us. If it were not for the storm, we would have no need for his peace. Now, when we were reading this, there's a prayer that Mrs. Kalman put in this Streams in the Desert devotional piece, and it's a three-part prayer. Grayson, listen to it as I speak it, and then tell me what you might think she's getting after with this idea. Oh God, take me, break me, make me. What do you think she might be saying when she says, take me, break me, make me?
Well, first of all, I think we should tell God to take our life, take control of our life. And as far as breaking us, you know, break our will for what we want so that he can make us into something new, so that he can mold us into something new. So that's what I think she's talking about when she says, take me, take control of my life, break me of my will and what I want, and make me, meaning sculpt me into something new for your will and for your glory.
Exactly. I think you're right on it, Grayson. What I thought about when I read that prayer the first time, take me, break me, make me, I thought about the potter who takes the clay into his hands, and he takes the clay and he just breaks it apart and forms, makes something out of the clay that did not exist until he, the master creator, envisioned what he wanted to make. And so a lot of times when I think about God as the potter and I as the clay, I think about how he can mold me and make me after his will. And he can even make me like his son, Jesus Christ. I can't be his son. Of course, there's only one Jesus. But he can make us to be like Christ. And so certainly we would want to pray in the storm, take me, break me, and make me. I had added a little something to that. A few years ago, I was reading this devotional. And when I prayed the prayer, I added a fourth piece. I said, oh God, take me, break me, make me, and recreate me. And so the idea is that even if we've been made into something, if the potter is not pleased with what he sees, he can break it back down again and recreate something wonderful from the initial creation. I heard the story about a Frenchman who painted a picture of universal geniuses. And in his painting, you can see famous orators, philosophers, even martyrs, all of whom have achieved preeminence in various aspects of life. The remarkable fact about this particular picture is every person who is preeminent for his ability was first preeminent for suffering. In the foreground stands the figure of the man who was denied the promised land, Moses. And beside him, feeling his way, is blind Homer. Milton is there, blind and broken, heartbroken, yes. Then there is the form of one who towers above them all. What is his characteristic? His face is marred more than any other. The artist might have titled that great picture, The Storm. You see, the beauties of nature come after the storm. And unless we've been entrusted in a storm, God may not have very big plans for our lives. But we know he does have big plans for our lives, and that's why he allows the storm to come. You see, the rugged beauty of the mountain is born, where? In a storm. The heroes of life, like in the portrait, they are storm-swept and they are battle-scarred. I heard it said one time, Grayson, that God cannot greatly use a person until he has allowed a person to be greatly broken. When you think about some of these thoughts that we've been talking about here for these last few moments, what might you like to give commentary on, Grayson?
Well, Dad, as you were saying earlier about if we don't face trials and hardships, how you know, we'll think we can make it on our own or don't need God. So if we're not broken, if we don't face those hard times, then maybe that's why he can't use us, because we'll think that all that we're doing is because of things that we've done and not realize that it's because of what God's doing through us.
Exactly. There's this idea, Grace, and maybe you've heard about it, beautifully broken. When you think about Jesus, I mean, think about his very life, that God gave his son. The scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was broken on Calvary for us. When you think about Jesus being given and broken, what do you think about the idea of beautifully broken?
Well, the fact that he was willing to be broken, the fact that he was willing to die a death, a painful death on the cross for our sins, that he loved us that much, that's what makes it beautiful. It's not that his pain was beautiful. It's not that it was a good thing, other than the fact that it gave us eternal life. I think that's the beauty of it, the love, the sacrifice that he made.
Yes, yes, indeed. And what is so beautiful about it is that we would have been broken to pieces, never to be restored again, if Jesus had not been willing to come and take our place on the cross, to have his body broken in our place. And that is surely beautifully broken. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to suffer any unnecessary suffering. Suffering is not something we embrace unless we believe that God can use that for his glory, and he can use it really in our story. So we don't pray for suffering, but the Apostle Paul did say, I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. So whenever there is suffering that God brings our way, a storm, a broken season, he will not put us through that alone. He surely gives us his own fellowship, his own communication, his own relationship. Whenever we go through these stormy seasons or seasons of brokenness, he has promised that it will be a fellowship. You know, the idea of fellowship is something very sweet. And so even when we're going through something very bitter, like brokenness, suffering, and the like, in that we are promised a sweet fellowship with the one who was the master sufferer, Jesus himself. He was called the Man of Sorrows. And the reason he was called the Man of Sorrows is because he was willing to enter the storm of sin. He came into the storm that we created, a storm of disobedience to God, rebellion in the face of God, the storm of sin. And he came right into it, and he took that storm on. And when he was done dying on the cross, resurrecting from the grave, ascending back to the Father, sending his Holy Spirit at Pentecost, when all of that was in place, my, we sometimes forget, it seems, when all of that was in place, then he gave to us escape from everything he had taken on. What did he give to us? He gave to us the same thing he gave to the disciples on the Galilee Sea that day. He gave us peace. Peace be still is what he speaks to us in the wake of what he has done for us. And so that is beautiful indeed. The idea that we had done the crime and Jesus came and did the time. He took on our burden. He took on our storm. He took on our sin. He took on our form. He became sin who knew no sin so we could become his righteousness. So we know that in the storm of Calvary, what Jesus was able to redeem and who he was able to redeem us should make us to understand the beauty even in the storm. Even in brokenness, even in suffering, he can bring beauty from it. When you think about it, Grayson, God took the Roman instrument of death, the cross, the rugged cross, a cruel instrument of death, and he turned it into the tree of life for us. He entered that storm of our rebellion, and he brought to us on the other side the peace of a relationship with God. And so these are beautiful thoughts and beautiful ideas. Anything that came to your mind as we were thinking more about this idea of the storm, suffering, even brokenness that may come into the seasons of our lives?
A couple things that I thought of, Dad, as you were talking. First is the 23rd Psalm, where it says, "Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me." He promises to be with us. He also says in the Bible that he will never leave us or forsake us. So he'll always be there with us, even through the hardest times, even through the trials, and maybe even more so during those times when we'll only be able to rely on him because we'll have nowhere else to go, nowhere else to lean on, nobody else to lean on. And so I think just holding on to his promises and knowing that he'll be with us and within us and help us to get through all the hard times should give us hope even in those difficult times that we may face.
Sure does. Gives us hope. And that's why we can say that we pray that this broadcast is a half hour of hope for our lives and for the lives of those who join us. You know, on the day that we're recording, I have a memorial service later this evening, and it kind of led me to this scripture. I think I'm going to be speaking on this scripture during the memorial service. I'm not 100% sure because I always release to God at the last moment. I surrender to him. If there are other thoughts that are coming stronger, I let those override the thoughts I have prepared. But actually, it was a shocking death. It was a gentleman in our church, a dear friend of ours, and he went to be with the Lord without any warning. He just was called away. And that's why it really is good to be ready at all times. But when I've been thinking today, as I've been preparing in my mind for the memorial service and the portion where I will be given an opportunity to speak, it seems like that we've been in a storm. The church has been in a storm because of this shocking loss. The family, certainly the wife and the children. And so I hope tonight I'll be able to share that even in the storm, in spite of the storm, especially in the storm, God can bring out some beautiful things from storms that came up in our lives that we were not anticipating. The one thing he brought out of the storm that was so beautiful, the last thing that they expected, he brought peace. What they were really expecting was to be drowned and toppled, and they didn't understand what was going on. And when you're in a storm, you can be confused quite easily. But by the end of that story in Mark chapter 4, when that squall came up, by the end of that story, peace had come and taken over that whole situation. The Sea of Galilee was like a mirror, where just moments before, it was a raging hurricane. And then when Jesus spoke, "Peace be still," it fell flat like a mirror. All the breezes died down, and the peace of God arose. And so today, if you're in a storm, my prayer is that you will call out to Jesus, that fear will not overwhelm your faith, but that you will place faith in him that if the storm is on, you have not been forgotten, you will not be left alone, as long as you call on the name of the master of the storm, and his name is Jesus Christ. Grace, anything else you'd like to add? And I'd like for us to have a little music at the end.
Yes, Dad, certainly we can't control the storm, but we know the one who can help us get through the storms of life and the one who can control the storms of life. Although we don't know what our future holds, we know who holds the future, and that's Jesus Christ and God the Father. And so that should give us hope, knowing that even though we don't know the future and we don't know what it holds and what we'll have to go through in this life, and it says in this life we will have trouble, but take hope because he has overcome the world. Who is he? That's Jesus Christ has overcome the world through his death on the cross and his resurrection. So that should give us hope, knowing that Jesus has overcome death, and through him we can overcome the obstacles that we face in life if he is living in our lives and leading, guiding, and directing our lives. And we should also have hope, knowing that one day, if we're faithful to him and stay true to him, that we will have eternal life in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And we really do pray that by the end of this program, we're going to give you some music about the master of the sea, about peace, things that will speak solitude, maybe into the storm you're in. But let us just remind you that the half hour of hope for your life is found in the same name of the one who brings hope to your life indefinitely. Jesus is the name. Jesus is our hope. May God bless you and listen in and be encouraged.
The two songs that we have for you today is our friend Jim Cole singing his song, Master of My Heart, and our friend Nikki Clark singing, Be Still.
Away from the shore where the sky meets the sea, there are dark clouds on the horizon. And the calm before the storm is calling out to me to take to the higher ground. A word to the wise is sufficient, and only a fool would ignore. And I have been a fool in these angry waves, so I'm turning my heart for the shore. Master of this heart of mine, O my captain of the sea, you have calmed the angry waves. Could you call siren's song, whispering my name in the night time, and often as not I would follow along, forsaking the solid ground. But sailing through uncharted waters is not the life that is seen to be. I would gladly trade this weathered sail to be back where the land meets the sea. Master of this heart of mine, O my captain of the sea, you will calm the angry waves. Could you calm to know the Lamb who died. just to know the Lamb who died, just to know the Lamb who died for me.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.